Like his previous film, The Paperboy, Lee Daniels' new film, The Butler, is a hot mess. Discarding the most fundamental Aristotelian rule, unity of action, the film jumps with wild abandon across decades as it tells the moving story of Cecil Gaines, played by Forrest Whitaker, a butler at the White House. In one jump cut, the film moves from the 1980s Reaganite defense of South African apartheid to the 2008 election of Barack Obama. The film's epic pretensions make the 8-hour 1979 NBC miniseries Backstairs at the White House look like a 23-minute sitcom. And yet, despite the disastrous narrative construction, individual scenes in The Butler are absolutely terrific, making one dream of a filmmaker capable of reining in any one of these ideas and building a great film around it. Daniel's use of stunt casting builds a near surrealist experience of American history. Formerly frenzied on coke comedian Robin Williams, Mork the Orkin, plays Dwight Eisenhower, the man who saved the world from Nazism. Kenneth Branagh's full-text film version of Hamlet was similarly stunt cast. However, there was a method to Branagh's madness. He took the most famous actors, Jack Lemmon, Gerard Depardieu, and cast them as the play's least significant characters. In The Butler, however, there seems to be neither rhyme nor reason to the casting. John Cusack, the boombox-in-the-air-wielding heartthrob Lloyd Dobler from Say Anything, plays the reprehensible Richard Nixon. Our butler Cecil is privy to the final night of Nixon's presidency as he lays in a stupor listening to the tapes that seal his doom. But this was done much better by Robert Altman in the stage play Secret Honor, with Philip Baker Hall as the insane Nixon. I will say that director Daniels saves the best for last with Jane Fonda and Alan Rickman as the Reagans. Fonda as Mrs. Reagan is certainly a hoot, but more seems at stake in Rickman's role. In 2004's Something the Lord Made, Rickman played a gruff heart surgery pioneer, Alfred Blaylock, who over decades comes to appreciate the contributions of his African-American research assistant, Vivian Thomas. What in that film is a beautiful reflection of changing times is made bizarre in The Butler, in which Rickman as Reagan improbably muses to Cecil that he feels he might have been on the wrong side regarding civil rights. While the stunt casting is intriguing, the film more importantly provides a much-needed counterpoint to the beloved 1994 film Forrest Gump. One of the great travesties in the history of adaptation involves the filming of Winston Groom's brilliant novel. Groom's work is a razor-sharp critique of American simple-mindedness, making fun of the U.S. citizenry's shameful lack of knowledge about history. For the idiot Forrest, there's no difference in standing next to segregationist Governor George Wallace and John Kennedy. In Robert Zemeckis' film version, Forrest's cluelessness is turned into a heroic trait of American innocence. It is one of the most anti-intellectual movies ever made, and the fact that it was extremely popular proves exactly Groom's point in writing his satirical novel. While Forrest never learns, the trajectory is much different in The Butler. As a young boy on a cotton farm, Cecil urges his father to stand up to the owner's son who has raped Cecil's mother, and watches his father get shot in the head and killed before his eyes as a result. In the aftermath, Cecil becomes a servant in the house, learns to suppress his opinions and become invisible, and works his way up to serving coffee to the white men making history. The catalyst for Cecil's change comes in the form of his son, who joins lunch counter protests as a college student and then drops out of college altogether to eventually become a politician. In the film's best scene, which I wish were housed in a much different movie, the hardworking Cecil has a fight with his son and girlfriend, who have joined the Black Panthers. When the kids call Sidney Poitier and Uncle Tom, Cecil kicks them out of the house, supported by the queen of all media, Oprah Winfrey, who plays Cecil's wife, Gloria. The scene is deeply resonant with film history. When Poitier made films such as 1963's Lilies of the Field, for which he was the first black person to win Best Actor, he was seen as an emblem of the movement in America toward a post-racial future. By 1967, when Poitier was starring in integrationist films such as Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, a more radical strain of political thought came to see the actor only as a sellout to white America. When Cecil's son Louis delivers that radical critique of Poitier, dismissing the hard work within the system of both the actor and his father, Cecil has had enough. He cuts off all contact with Louis and continues at the White House, collecting mementos from all of the presidents for whom he has worked, particularly tie clips from the presidential campaigns of Nixon and Johnson, profound opposites when it came to the civil rights movement. And yet, unlike Forrest Gump, Cecil does demonstrate that he knows what is at stake and that his convictions run deep. He retires from Reagan's White House and finally joins his son in an anti-apartheid rally where he is promptly arrested. As the film closes and he is invited to return to the White House, now inhabited by Barack and Michelle Obama, he chooses Johnson's clip over Nixon's to hold President Kennedy's tie, a gift from Jacqueline. The film thus does not take a radical position to counter Forrest Gump. Instead, the butler stakes a claim for political centrism. Late in the film, when Cecil and Gloria celebrate Obama's election, it is clear that the integrationists have won the film's sympathy, much as a more nuanced present-day film criticism has come to appreciate Poitier's exquisitely complex performances. If only the butler could have found such an artistic balance, scaling back the many things it wants to say to focus on one of them, into the stuff of a truly great, desperately needed film.